Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Daniel Foster of National Review Online, who is here in the stead of Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Dan, hello to you. Good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, as always.
And hello to our listeners, and of course, hello to the NSA, as we discovered this week.
Doing a dynamite job, boys.
Apparently so. Of course, yesterday, the bad martini was that it's no longer the case, apparently, that thanks to the PRISM program here, the government is not just figuring out who's a potential troublemaker and then figuring out who the contacts of that troublemaker are and studying those phone records, not eavesdropping on the calls as far as we know, but studying the records and knowing how long they were, when they happened, and so forth, and obviously what the other numbers were involved in those conversations. Well, later in the day on Thursday, we found out it's actually much more than that. In fact, the internet, email, all of that involved, all the major email providers, Google, Yahoo, Apple, Microsoft, that's all being sifted through in this program as well. Credit card information also being sifted through as well. So, Dan, just when we thought it was bad enough yesterday, it basically turns out any type of electronic communication that you and I or anybody else is engaged in here, the government has their greasy fingers all over it.
The floodgates have been opened. We're going to see more leaks. We're going to find out a good deal of the extent of this, if not the full extent of it. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to think it's just Verizon, for instance,
right,
and that none of the other cell phone carriers are doing this. I think that was just the order that was leaked. So I think we should basically assume that the NSA has a complete digital picture of everything we've ever done, which is why some of us are thinking about going to non-extradition countries for vacation soon. This is bad. I mean, it's bad. And we're going to see, you know, you're seeing an interesting coalition because on the one hand, on the right is much more conflicted about this, I think you can say objectively, than the left is. And in interesting ways. I mean, there are not many on the left who are defending the president all that explicitly, which is I guess to their credit. On the right, there's the familiar interesting splits between more civil liberties, libertarian, inflected conservatism, and more national security, core competencies of the government, inflected conservatism. And there's a tension there. And I think some of us feel both sides of that tension. I'd certainly include myself in that category. But you're seeing interesting elements on the right come out and basically defend the president, defend the program, defend the administration. And then you're also seeing some of those old libertarian muscles getting flexed like they haven't been in some time. So one thing I can say about this issue politically, because that's a lot of what we talk about, is that it's creating interesting coalitions. And we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, one of the more disturbing comments I saw, and it is interesting that especially Republicans and Democrats on the intelligence committees seem to be very much backing up the administration on this. But I think it was Lindsey Graham on Thursday who said, well, I'm not a terrorist, so I don't really care if the government has all these records on me.
Right.
For a guy who's supposed to be a lawyer and I assume at some point studied the Constitution in some of his classes, Dan, that doesn't exactly reassure me because that's what's supposed to make us different, I'm pretty sure.
If you just go by your gut instincts, you know, to our listeners, the first people who came out and defended these programs were Dianne Feinstein and Lindsey Graham. And I think if you just go with your gut instincts, that should raise an eyebrow. You should think a little bit harder about it. And I would encourage everyone, if you want to hear both sides of this and you're conflicted yourself, I'd encourage everyone to read especially Andrew McCarthy on National Review, who's, you know, as good as there is on this stuff, former federal prosecutor. And then I kind of responded to him in my column today. And Jonah Goldberg also has a great column on it. So there's a lot of, I think, thoughtful stuff on the right about how far this thing can reasonably go and balancing civil liberties and national security and all that good stuff. So that'll be my plug for the site today.
Yeah, smooth and relevant plug. Well done. Sure. All right, on to martini number two now. In case you couldn't tell, we started with the bad martini, but the good martini is, like Dan was saying, the coalition of folks that have come around here. You've got the libertarians, you've got a lot of progressive groups, you've obviously got just people who don't want the government, regardless of their political persuasion, having access to all their electronic communications. And even the New York Times in their lead editorial basically ripping the Obama administration on this, saying the administration has now lost all credibility on this issue. Mr. Obama is providing the truism that the executive branch will use any power it is given and very likely abuse it. That is one reason we have long argued that the Patriot Act was reckless in its assignment of unnecessary and overbroad surveillance powers. I think we could have a different debate about what parts of the Patriot Act are good and which ones are a little bit suspect here. But the idea that, you know, even folks on the left are not giving the president much leeway on this is a good thing, and hopefully he'll have to answer to this with some more specificity than kind of the planted question he got on Friday.
Two things about this. One, this is one area where the charge of hypocrisy is especially relevant. I mean, the fact that State Senator Obama, Senator Obama, presidential candidate Obama made railing against these features of the national security state the centerpiece of his political persona, and then essentially when he got into office forgot all about that, and not just expanded, you know, expanded, reified, legitimized all of these practices and sort of kept his foot on the pedal. The other thing is, I don't know if you knew this, Greg, but the New York Times actually changed the language in that editorial. Initially, the first version that came out just said President Obama has lost all credibility, period.
Mm.
And then they added, without a note that the article had been edited, has lost all credibility on this issue. So the New York Times is still going to be the New York Times. But it's interesting that you're right that they're at least taking the president to task on this very narrow issue. Now, don't expect them to be suspicious of his broader agenda.
No.
Because this is consistent with their, you know, as you said, I suspect we'd come down on different places from the New York Times, and possibly from each other on, you know, which parts of the Patriot Act we like. But this is actually fairly consistent with the New York Times favoring, you know, civil liberties over national security.
On to the crazy martini now. It's an all NSA day today. And it's been fascinating. While most Democrats and certainly progressives don't have much in the way of defense of President Obama, they are very quick to blame President George W. Bush for this. In fact, the Washington Post article on this today mentioned Bush many more times than Obama on this, it seems like. From what we're learning, this PRISM program, this broad collection of data, was essentially started in 2007, which is obviously in the Bush administration, and it was started in response to the cover being blown on the wiretapping plan that actually was based on probable cause, with overseas terrorists having connections here in the United States. And so, obviously, the Bush administration does deserve blame from anyone who is critical of the Obama administration for doing the very same thing, though. The problem is, this guy's been in office for 4.5 years, and at some point, he's got to take responsibility for this. But just like on the economy, nobody on the left seems to be able to admit the fact that Bush isn't in charge anymore.
As I said, these are policies that, you know, candidate Obama explicitly ran against, and ran against in a super moralistic, self-righteous way. And then he sits down. I mean, there's been some reporting on this. I remember when the Iran computer virus story broke.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some reporting on this that basically, as soon as the Obama team, transition team, met the Bush team at the White House, you know, in late 2008, the Bush National Security team said, "Okay, look, this is what we got going on, and these are the programs you're going to want to keep in place." And by and large, the Obama administration has kept them in place. So, I mean, whether we want to say that, you know, the president's a hypocrite for not doing what he promised to in his campaign, or, you know, we could be more generous and say, hey, look, once he sat down and saw the intelligence and saw how the programs worked, he came to agree, you know, with the Bush administration take and largely kept it in place. I mean, that's a matter of your point of view on the whole thing. But it's certainly true that you can't pretend that you know, the President Obama hasn't had a choice. I mean, he controls the national security apparatus. He's the commander in chief. He's had a choice. He could put his imprint and make his imprint however he wanted it on, you know, domestic surveillance, on the war, you know, broader war on terror. And what we've seen is the entrenchment and the expansion of a lot of Bush era policies beyond what Bush ever dreamed.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. And now it's all coming to light. And their only defense, at least at this point, is A, that it's necessary. And I think a lot of people would dispute that. And B, is obviously that, well, somebody else started this, so we couldn't possibly be responsible for it. Dan, it's been a crazy week. I don't even know what to say, but it's been a really crazy week. But...
Well, it's better that you don't say anything. Just think it. Because as of yet, we know that the NSA can't read our thoughts, but that's right around the corner.
Absolutely right. Or keep it on a legal pad somewhere. But
that's right.
Who knows? Dan?
I'm going back to invisible ink.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Greg.
Daniel Foster of National Review Online. Check out again National Review Online, as he mentioned. Both Dan's column and Andrew McCarthy, Jonah Goldberg, all talking about this tension between security and liberty today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity and I will be back on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Yeah.